The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right. It is Thursday Eve, as I was just reminded, or Friday Eve, sorry. As I was just reminded in the chat room. Got to get my days of the week straight. Yeah, it is Thursday. That means tomorrow's Friday, and then the weekend's here. Kate, are you still not hearing the audio on the audio stream? It looks like it's there. Hopefully we're firing on all cylinders. I never know. I never know. Such is my life. Anyway, welcome to it. It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. Live stream audio is up and running. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Sometimes things happen, you know, the gremlins attack, and I did notice a little glitch, but I'm glad it's fixed. Okay. I'm going to start off today with I think a brand new sponsor of the show, because we could all use one of these. It's the new Binax home COVID test, and check out this commercial.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis raised eyebrows on Friday with this statement.
Think about it. Before COVID, did anyone go out and seek testing to determine if they were sick?
This, despite the fact that preventative screenings for diseases are very common.
It's really disconcerting to be living in a state where I can assure you that many Floridians know that DeSantis has gone completely off the deep end.
Have you just infected an entire room with stupidity? Because you were unaware you had it? Introducing the Binax Home Idiocy Test. Here's how it works. Inside your Binax kit, you'll find a small mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Hold it up to your face to see if you're Ron DeSantis.
Ah.
If you are, remove the included swab and stick it where the sun don't shine. The Binax Home Idiocy Test. Think about it, because he didn't.
That was actually from like a month ago from the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, one of their cold opens. But, you know, David records them and watches them, you know, at later times without, you know, so he can fast forward through the commercials. So, you know, that's the way to watch shows like that. But Colbert keeps churning out the good stuff. So he has, you know, a whole staff of writers who come up with these things. But sometimes you don't need the writers. Sometimes the comedy just writes itself. And, well, there's a fine line between really funny and really sad. And somebody we know crossed the line this week. I don't understand people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. But I'm sure you saw this. A video came out. I guess, I don't know, she was on TV on some Real America. What is it? Real America with Dan Hall. Okay. Well, let's just hear what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say. I believe she's talking about the, well, let's just hear. Let's just hear, and then we'll analyze it on the other side.
Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police.
What?
Spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work that we do, spying on our staff, and spying on American citizens that want to come talk to their representatives. This government has turned into something it was never meant to be, and it's time to make it end.
Okay, time to make what end? The government or the gazpacho police? She really did say that, right? Let me just hear that again.
Not only do we have the D.C. jail, which is the D.C. gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police.
Gazpacho police.
Spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work that we do, spying on our staff.
Okay, shut up. How stupid does one person have to be? This is the idiot who invoked the Holocaust when talking about mask mandates and vaccine mandates. And then She actually went to the Holocaust Museum and came out and said, oh, I was wrong. I learned so much. I won't. And then she does this shit. Then she doesn't even know the gazpacho police. Yeah, Diane in the chat room says she meant Gestapo. No, you think? That's probably the wrong one. I was going to do this. Yeah, she meant Gestapo, but she said gazpacho. There are no words. There are no words. And this is the face of today's Republican Party. You know, the GOP is often used as a shorthand for Republican Party. The GOP stands for Grand Old Party. Well, sorry, there's nothing grand about it. They're old, not as old as the Democrats, but they're old. But that's nothing new. Grand? I think we need to come up with another word instead of grand. Feel free to leave comments in the chat room or tweet at me at Nicole Sandler. I'm laughing because Philip Collier in the YouTube chat room said, I feel oddly aroused by MGT mangling words, almost talking dirty. Ooh, baby. You know, the things they say, sometimes you almost wonder if they understand that their words are recorded, that nothing, you know, goes by unrecognized these days. So I'm thinking, you know, more revelations are coming out about Donald Trump's theft, I will call it theft, of official presidential and White House records, documents, even the map that he drew with a Sharpie, you know, the hurricane area into Alabama, which wasn't under a hurricane threat, but he drew a Sharpie thinking that'll fool everyone. He took that. But the National Archives are now saying it appears that in those 15 boxes we sent our people down to Florida to Mar-a-Lago to retrieve, boxes that Donald Trump absconded with, there were some classified materials. Wouldn't it be interesting if there were tape anywhere of Donald Trump blasting Hillary Clinton for, destroying emails, for not adhering to the Presidential Records Act? Wouldn't that be something if, say, there were tape of such a thing?
I thought it was a terrible thing when she ripped up the speech. First of all, it's an official document.
No,
you're not
it
allowed. It's illegal
she
did.
No, it isn't.
She broke the law.
That wasn't an official. That wasn't. It was a copy.
I haven't been asked a question other than a lot of people that viewed it. They couldn't believe that she did it.
Yeah.
I thought it was
right.
Terrible. I thought it was very disrespectful to the chamber, to the country.
You know what? Forget this one. I got a better one for you. This courtesy of CNN, because not only did they find one clip, they found quite a few.
This is the biggest scandal since Watergate.
This from the man who would not stop slamming Hillary Clinton in 2016, accusing her of hiding something after she used a private server for emails.
33,000 emails disappeared.
They should lock her up.
Likely including classified information.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's disgraceful.
Hillary Clinton is guilty.
But three former White House officials now tell CNN they saw Donald Trump on several occasions while he was president rip up documents,
uh-oh,
drafts, and other materials that he'd finished reviewing or otherwise wasn't interested in, allegedly breaking the law, the same thing he once accused Clinton of doing.
Go figure.
People who have nothing to hide don't bleach. Nobody's ever heard of it. Don't bleach their emails or destroy evidence
or steal
to
boxes
keep it
of
from
documents
being publicly archived,
yeah,
as required
as
under federal law.
As required under
Trump
federal
now
law
facing questions about whether he violated the Presidential Records Act, critical for preserving a president's record in office.
Most fundamentally, it's not his property.
No.
It's not the property of any president, mm-hmm, or others in an administration who create these documents. These documents are the property of the United States. They're the property of the American people.
The National Archives says Trump's representatives have told the agency they are continuing to search for additional records,
uh-oh,
that should have been turned over to the archives, but which could now be missing. But that's not all. CNN has learned the National Archives retrieved 15 boxes from Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence last month.
15 boxes?
Boxes containing documents, letters, other mementos Trump took with him when he left office.
That didn't belong to him.
Things like a so-called love letter from the North Korean dictator.
I just got a great letter from Kim Jong-un.
Other items in those boxes, according to the Washington Post and New York Times, a letter from former President Obama to Trump when Trump took office, and a map Trump drew on with a black Sharpie to show what
hurricane.
He falsely said was the track of Hurricane Dorian to Alabama in 2019.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is now trolling Trump's record keeping, or lack thereof, on Twitter.
Ooh.
With this link to merchandise her PAC is selling, including a mug that Riley says, but her emails? Historian Tim Naftali is concerned.
What are we not getting back? The fact that the president had a habit, and it's been documented, of tearing up records raises the question, what got burned? What got shredded?
Right.
Those are troubling.
You think? Because there were
contacted by CNN, a person close to Trump denied that anything nefarious took place regarding the handling of documents and other materials.
Right. Of course they denied it. What do you expect? So no wonder that today, I don't know if they're actually trending or anything, but photos of you know, the orange one on his gold encrusted toilet seem to be making the rounds. Oh, I have one here. Let's see. Well, and I lost audio when I showed that. So there is that. Anyway, so have you been watching the coverage of this trucker thing? I wish I pulled that. Man, there's a package they're running on CNN by this reporter, this guy, Donny O. something. He's obviously Irish. Donny O. Rourke, or I don't know. I forget his last name. Donny is his name. And he went up to Ottawa, Canada, where the truckers have the whole city closed off. And the video that I saw, is pretty stunning. Now, you may recall, if you were here on Tuesday, when Laffy was here, we actually called Ottawa, Canada, to find out what the deal was there. And I saw a vape shop that was called Sir Vapes a Lot on the map. Donny O'Sullivan. Thank you. I knew it was O something. Anyway, so on Tuesday, when Laffy was here, I pulled up a Google page of downtown Ottawa, Canada. Now, apparently, the truckers' protest has shut down for 2 weeks already downtown Ottawa. This is the capital of Canada, and you see if you're watching on one of the video streams at the top of the map that I'm showing there, it says Parliament of Canada. And it's really these streets right, you know, around the Parliament area that are shut down. Now, when I looked on the map, I think I went out too many blocks away to reach Wyatt at Sir Vapes-a-Lot. And Wyatt was just like, you know what, I realized I wanted to call this up too close to showtime, so I didn't queue up the exact moment. But let me see if I can't find the beginning of our call to Wyatt, because his response to what was going on there was really...
So dial it at any time.
I think he said that... I
don't think it was the first
okay,
one.
Okay, here, it's coming. So we're going to...
Hold while I connect
your
phone.
Hold on. We're okay. Going to get Wyatt in a second. Let me just... Hi, Sir Vapes-a-Lot. Are you... You're in Ottawa?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Nicole. I have got a laugh on the line with me. We do a radio show. I'm based in South Florida. She's in California. And I just... We're on the air. And I want to know... What's going on there with these truckers and the whole taking over the city? Is everything okay?
Yeah, it seems okay.
Is it calm? Or are there trucks blocking the streets of the city?
I mean, in certain parts, sure. But other than that, no idea. I mean, I'm just working most of the time. So,
I pulled up a map. Okay, so I'm going to pull him down. So that was, you know, Wyatt. Now, look, he works in a vape shop. They smoke weed all day. So he's not bothered, by, I guess, by the trucker blockade that's, you know, a number of blocks up from them because it's not right in front of their store. So I thought maybe we should try again. And so here's the current. We'll try this one more time, okay? So I'm thinking maybe I should call a hotel that's closer. What's really interesting here is a lot of these things are, they say, like Bank of Canada Museum, temporarily closed. A lot of things in that area, Ottawa Art Gallery, temporarily closed. CF Ridgeview Centre, temporarily closed. A lot of things are temporarily closed, and I think that's because of this blockade. So there's the Parliament train station. And you know what? Right next to it, well, okay, we can go one of two ways. We can call like a Tim Hortons right there. I think we should do that. Tim Hortons is sort of like the Canadian version of Starbucks, I think. So why don't we do that? Let's call them. And again, I do this without ever testing to find out if this is going to work. But let's see. Okay, so there's the phone number. So it's the area code there is 613. I have to say I'm calling Canada, don't I? This says United States. There's Canada. All right, 613-22. So this is closer to where the action is. I want to hear from somebody who's got like a bird's eye view as to what's going on there. Let's see if Tim Hortons will talk to us. They're on Somerset Street in Ottawa. Because I know, I saw the video, I saw the pictures, and they've got everything shut down, and now they're threatening here.
Good afternoon,
do you want to speak to you? Hi, do you speak English?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Nicole. I'm calling from the United States. I do a radio show. And I'm just curious as to what the situation is there in Ottawa right now, outside of your store. Are the streets all shut down with these truckers? Oh. She didn't want to talk to me. I guess that's Tim Hortons. Not very neighborly, are they? All right, let's try a hotel. We'll do one more. We'll try here, the Sheraton, Ottawa. It's the Sheraton, after all. Let's try the Sheraton. They didn't like me. Do they have a phone number up here? They may not have a phone number. Oh, there it is. Okay. So let's try, so much for Tim Hortons. Man, I'm disappointed. Okay, so 613-238. I need to put Canada again. 15. All right, so now we're calling the Sheraton, the Marriott. It's the Sheraton or the Marriott? Oh, the Sheraton is owned by Marriott. Okay, so let's see what happens here. Hopefully this goes through to the hotel and not some like parent office. That's always the risk when you call a hotel. The Sheraton Ottawa Hotel. It looks like it's like two blocks or four, one, two, three or so from the streets that are closed off. Now then again, maybe the hotel is closed. I don't know. But in the meantime, they're DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, is putting out warnings that...
Good evening. Thank you for calling the Ottawa Sheraton Hotel. My name is Colette. How are you? Bonjour.
Hi, Colette. My name's Nicole. I'm calling from the United States. I do a radio show, and I'm curious about the situation there in Ottawa right now. Can you tell me right by the hotel? I'm sorry?
Okay, I'm actually the hotel. I'm the hotel operator. Let me just transfer you to our manager. One moment,
okay? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I understand that.
Oh, you've reached the voicemail of Yelena Shadek.
Voicemail. I don't want voicemail. Oh, well. See, the live radio. All right, we'll try one more thing. Let's try to find something that's, you know, like a local place. There's another Tim Hortons. I'm not going to try Tim Hortons again. There's actually a Starbucks. I might have better luck with Starbucks. What else? Now I'm going too far away. I want to get closer. There's an there's a sushi shop. Should we call the sushi shop? It just says sushi shop. Like they don't even have a name for the sushi shop. All right, this third time's a charm, they say, right? All right, this is the last call we'll make, and hopefully we'll get somebody good at the sushi shop on Sparks Street. So it goes to 613 again. this is a long road to hoe. Hopefully we get a payoff here. Because Wyatt was just awesome. Maybe I just need to call another vape shop. We'll find out. All right, we're calling the sushi shop in Ottawa. It says it's open now. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. I have a feeling they're probably closed because people can't get there, you know? This may be a bust. Man, it sounds, you know, Google says that they're open now, but I have a feeling they're shut down because all around them, no, nobody there. Hello? Hello?
Is full and cannot accept.
It was voicemail and the voicemail is full. I'm thinking they're closed. So the Bank of Canada Museum is closed. You know what? I said that was all I was going to do. So I guess we'll stop there. But, you know, it's not only in Ottawa. Windsor is shut down. And now they're saying it is affecting the automobile industry because the bridge that goes from Detroit into Canada and back and forth, they've totally shut down. And so now the concerns that, as I started saying before, I got distracted by my my multitasking, is that the Department of Homeland Security is warning that these trucker protests against coronavirus mandates crippling a number of cities throughout Canada may be spreading to the U.S. They've picked up chatter, as it were. Plans to block roads in major U.S. cities, including Los Angeles, where they could impact the Super Bowl. You know, these are the same people who bitched about Black Lives Matter protests. And I believe their talk of all the violence and the windows breaking and stuff was, one, overblown. Two, I think they were responsible for a lot of it, because on the left, we believe in peaceful protest. That's what the whole idea of protesting is about. It's peaceful. We're not violent people. We know who has the guns. We know who are the violent ones. We know who tried to storm the Capitol building and hang Mike Pence, for example. So, you know, these are the same people who screamed anarchy, who screamed in Portland when they shut down one street for peaceful protests for an extended period of time. Why is it okay for these truckers who have such clever, clever graphics of signs and things like, this was really good. I saw it plastered across the front of a truck. It said, "Let's go Brando," Brandeau, because they're going after Trudeau. So instead of Brandon, like Biden, it's, get it? Yeah. It's not even funny. But the bigger point is they are a small minority. These truckers who have virtually shut down like the bridges leading into Canada, major roadways outside of the Parliament of Canada. They've shut it down, and now apparently they're getting funding and support from the U.S. The cretins on the television on that Fox Not News channel have been cheering them on. Rafael Cruz went on the television and said, "Those truckers are heroes." No, they're not. And they're a small minority of the country. 80% of Canadians are fully vaccinated. 80%. This nonsense is being, you know, perpetrated on the country, on the world, by a small but loud minority. And now they're talking about doing it here. This is when, you know, again, nothing makes sense. And this is, I guess, when perception is reality. Look, a small minority of Canadians can virtually shut down the country. And now, again, they're saying that they're planning to do it here because it was so successful there. And you have the idiots on Fox applauding them, saying that these are heroes. They're doing this for our freedoms. Well, bullshit. Talk to the people, the guy at Tim Hortons or the sushi place that's obviously closed and they have no business going on. It's astounding. And the fact that there's nothing they could do about it. These are the people who screamed about Occupy Wall Street. How dare they occupy a park? But it's okay for these people, and I use the word people loosely, to shut down the commerce of the nation. I just don't get it. So all that's going on. It's astounding to me. Can I tell you about something really good? You know, these days it's so much bad news that it just permeates everything, and it makes me want to tune out the news. You know, lately I've shied away from a lot of the more sickening news stories just because I just can't handle them, right? But this one is a feel-good story. You know, I didn't used to be a big fan of Dolly Parton's. I'll tell you a story. But my sister doesn't listen here, so I can tell you this. She was married to a slime ball. Her husband, she's now divorced. Took a long time for her to divorce him. But when they were married, he worked at some downtown, some Miami Beach hotel, and in the restaurant. Right? It was a high-end restaurant. And so he delivered a meal to one of the rooms, and it just so happened to be Dolly Parton. And this is, I'm going back 30 years now. So, you know, nothing recent. So it was Dolly Parton. And well, Dolly Parton took a liking to this guy. His name was Brad. Not our Brad, different Brad. Ex-husband, ex-brother-in-law Brad. And long story short, she wound up seducing him. I guess she did, because he was young and he was young. She was older, but he stooped Dolly Parton. That was typical for him. He'd, you know, do anything that moved. Again, she didn't divorce him for many years after that, but that was always a thing with her. Dolly Parton. She blamed Dolly Parton. I blame Brad. Anyway, so I always had this thing about Dolly Parton. I was like, ew. But hey, she's on the road. I guess she wanted a little something. And so she took it. Yeah. Now looking back, I say, okay, good for her, right? Now, then we find out Dolly Parton gives $1 million to the researchers at, I'm sure, a university in Tennessee near where she lives, and we find out that money went to Moderna to help develop their vaccine. One notch, right? Listen to this one. Dolly Parton, you know, she has this amusement park called Dollywood. Dollywood Parks and Resorts has announced that it will pay all tuition costs, fees, and books for employees who decide they want to go to college. All of them. It covers full-time, part-time, and seasonal employees from their first day on the job. This is going to start in 2 weeks on the 24th of February. So, hey, if you want to go to college, you might want to go take a job at Dollywood. Listen to this. The education perk is available to employees starting on their very first day of work and will be available to all employees, as I just said. It starts February 24th. This type of perk isn't news. Dollywood has a reputation for caring for employees. Along with the new tuition benefit, employees receive access to the Dollywood Family Healthcare Center and are provided free meals in every shift that they work. So no more having to, you know, order out and spend all the money you make on lunch or the free meals provided. There are also apprentice and leadership training programs, and the park also pays a portion of childcare costs for employees who need childcare while they're working. I say, first of all, she deserves the Medal of Honor, which the former guy dishonored by giving it to some of the people he gave to. But if anyone deserves it, oh my God, Dolly Parton. And now I saw, you know, she's nominated. They came out with the nominations for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And people are asking, Dolly Parton, is that rock and roll? Let me put it this way. Dolly Parton deserves any and every award available to her. I mean, I'd give her the Nobel Peace Prize. I'll give her my, Nicole Sandler Good Human Award. Whatever. We need more people like Dolly Parton. So there should be a new thing. What Dolly Parton-like thing have you done today? Are you a Dolly Parton? I aspire to be a Dolly Parton. She's just awesome. The praises don't go high enough. So once in a while, there's a good news story, and that one certainly deserved to be told, right? Well, I'll leave it there because I don't want to spoil the moment, okay? And I think now is a very good time to get Howie Klein on the line. What do you think? Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies today? Is it yours? All right, we need an extra large batch, I think. All right.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
And it's her birthday today, too. Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. Whose birthday?
Dolly Parton. Can I just tell you, I think she needs to be nominated for, like, the Best Human Being on the World Award or something. Did you hear what she's doing with her Dollywood employees?
No.
Anyone. A full-time, part-time, seasonal worker, even on their first day on the job, starting February 24th, which is 2 weeks from today, they're paying for college tuition for any employee who wants to go. Not only full tuition, but books and fees, and it starts the day they start working. All their college needs are covered. Plus, if you're working a shift at Dollywood, you get free meals while you're working. If you need child care while you're working, they provide assistance for child care. I mean, this woman is a saint.
Yeah, she really is an awesome person. I met her a long time ago. I spent a couple of days with her writing a cover story for a big national magazine on her.
Yeah.
And I really got to know her, I think. This was back in, the very late 70s. Yeah, it was definitely the late 70s. So it's quite a long time ago, but wow, was she awesome. And after I had spent 2 days with her and talking and photographing her and everything like that, we took a picture together. All the pictures were just of her, of course. But the photographer said, hey, I can take a picture of the two of you. So I said, great. So we took a picture together, and she was like, had her arms around me, and her, I don't know how to say this without like being rude, but her breasts rubbed against me.
Right? Well, you know, it's hard not to. They're kind of large. Right?
Yeah, that's just the setup.
Right. Oh, gotcha.
So I said, Dolly, are those real? And she said, and she took my hand and put my hand on her chest.
Well, I'm not surprised, because I also told the story where I used to have a block when it came to Dolly Parton, because I know that she once stooped my ex-brother-in-law when he worked at a Miami Beach restaurant hotel, and he brought stuff, food to her room, and they wound up, doing the dance. And
is that the biggest day of his life?
Oh, yeah. But so my sister, who was married to him at the time, always, blamed Dolly Parton. And, now I look back, it's like, good for her. You know, he had to have been 20 years her junior, and she saw this hot guy and said, I'll have some of that, and did.
Good for her, is right. That is awesome.
I know. So I've done a complete turner, because he's a jerk. He's a complete asshole.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Hey, Howie, on Friday of last week, I told you we were going to do that. It was the 25th anniversary of KSEA going off the air in L.A.
Yep.
So we did the big reunion show. And this morning, I get an email from somebody I worked with at a radio station years later, who said, I have some air checks from KSCA. And one of them was from January 30th of 1997, just 4 days before the end of the station. And it was Mimi Chen's show. And lo and behold, who came in to play guest DJ that night? But Howie Klein. Me? Howie Klein. Listen, just listen, right. Listen to this.
Well, Mimi, we can't blame that on Mike.
You know, I always wonder why that wasn't a hit.
Well, you know,
that never made it. You know,
Mike, we just had a call from Brett, who lives here in L.A., although he's from the Bronx, and he was saying that he thinks there should be more stations playing music like that all the time. He said it reminded him of the old days when it was pot with seeds in it.
Okay. Can you tell us, Howie, what that was?
Yeah, that's the biggest band in Slovakia, and they're called Leibach. Uh-huh. And that, of course, was their tribute to the Rolling Stones. They do 8 versions of that song on the record called Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, my gosh. If you haven't found out already, we're sitting here with Howie Klein of Reprise Records, one of the biggest record companies in the world, Mimi Chen here. He has taken over the radio station. Help! Help! Howie's here!
Well, you should actually, if you're calling for help, you should tell them the number that they can call, because we love taking requests.
That's right. Please. Yes, Howie says he'll take requests, and he also wants to hear what you have to say about some of the music he's got here, because he just brought, like, you know, tons of stuff. So the number here is 520-KSCA from LA in the Valley, anywhere else, 800-777-1019. So there you go.
You know, maybe we're going to play a lot of stuff that isn't even out yet. I even have, like, demos of bands that are, like, sort of working on their albums now. I asked them if it was okay to play some stuff.
You didn't ask any bands.
Oh, no, I did. I might have. Well, actually, I asked their product manager if it was okay. But this one is an older band. I know Mike used to play this when he was in Philadelphia. I used to play it when I was in San Francisco. The band is called Deacon Blue, and they were an English band. I don't know if anyone's going to recognize them, because I don't know if anyone played them in L.A., but this was, like, a great song back in the day, and it's called Dignity.
101.9, taken over by Howie Klein of Reprise.
So there's a sample of your epic work. I have got, like, an hour of the air check, so I'll send it to you.
Yes, I am so excited. I can't wait to go and listen to Dignity's song, which is incredibly good. I haven't thought about that probably since that night. And that Leibach song, I still listen to that sometimes. Their version of Sympathy for the Devil. Of course, like I said, they have 8 versions.
8 versions of Sympathy for the Devil.
But the main one is so good. It puts the Rolling Stones version. Of course, they wrote it, but it puts them to shame.
And that was you came in and played guest DJ. But that was the top record in Slovakia that week, and it was 8 different versions of Sympathy for the Devil. I think that's hysterical. And it was kind of dirge-like.
Well, I mean, the song was so good. By the way, I don't want to make anyone who's a fan or an ex-employee of that station feel any less wonderful, but I have to admit that whenever I would go traveling, which was all the time, I would go to the local station that could handle the kind of music I was playing.
Right.
And guest DJ. So I would, like in Boston, for example, I would go to WBCN.
Sure.
And play guest DJ. It was always so much fun for me. It would always be a joy. Wherever I went, it would be a joy.
And Mimi, did you know Mimi from San Francisco? Because that's where she was before she came down to join that station.
I did. I knew Mimi from a variety of different friends that we had in common, uh-huh, including Sandy Perlman, rest in peace, who was kind of in love with her.
Huh.
And I know, is Mimi okay?
She's fine. She's still in L.A. She does a Sunday show on KCSN. She's married. Her kids are grown now. Her daughter, Aaliyah, who was a baby, she was born while KSCA was on the air and used to go in. She was the nighttime DJ assistant. I mean, Mimi brought her in every night, is now, she's a singer. She plays music. She's a struggling singer-songwriter, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. No, Mimi's great. And she was on the thing with me on Friday night.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
She's great. Yeah, she was wonderful.
Yeah, I thought you'd get it. When I saw that this morning, I mean, he sent one Mike Morrison air check and one morning show from when Chuck and I did mornings. And then that one, it's like, oh my God, well, talk about, all the stars aligning. I'm like, Howie does my show every Thursday. I'm going to play some of this for him later. What a surprise.
It's a shame you can't play the music. I understand why.
Right.
But it's too bad because the music is really what it's all about. I mean, I was, you know, the sort of clown in between the wonderful songs. But
You know what I'll do? You know, every week, I'll post the whole
thing. Names of songs.
Well, I'll post, it's like, I think there's like an hour, maybe 2 hours of the show, and the songs are complete, so they play all the way through. And so what I'll do is I'll upload that audio, and I'll post it along with today's show. And each week, I post the show on my website, and it's posted by the date. It's always NicoleSandler.com/, and then the date. So, for instance, today is 2-10-22. So it's always easy to find. So I will do that today. I'll post it. I can't do it on YouTube because I get copyright violated, but I can put it up on my podcast.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah. Good. I don't know what songs I played that night.
Uh-huh.
Except
very eclectic. You were all over the place. They were things I'd never heard. And it was a lot of stuff that wasn't released. A lot of world premieres, a lot of demos, a lot of this band is in the studio and nobody's heard this yet. It's a very cool hour of programming.
God, I can't wait to hear it now.
Good.
I mean, the song Dignity, that song by Deacon Blue,
yeah.
That would be perfect for the station. Liebach, I don't think that's the kind of music that ever got played on the station.
No. The end of the song is that's where the tape begins. It's on there. But it's like, oh, and then you did one. Oh, let me just play. It's taken up the whole time. You'll hear it later. You introduce some other band doing a song that called Superman, and you're like, whoever is the first person who can call in and tell me what this song, who did it, wins. And Mimi's like, well, what do they win? The satisfaction of knowing they were first. You were very clever. But I got it in like the first note. It was R.E.M.'s I Am Superman, but a very different version of it.
No, yes, it was wait a second. Was there R.E.M. doing the song?
No,
right?
No, it was somebody else doing it.
It was Roger Troutman.
That's who it was. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I talked him into doing that song. I had made it. I don't know I don't know how to put this, but I was actually asked to do the soundtrack for Superman, a new Superman movie.
Oh.
And then what happened? So I asked Roger Troutman. I gave him the R.E.M. song. I said, "Could you do a version of this?" So it's very, very different. And he uses the vocoder, and this is before Cher had her big hit with a vocoder with Believe. So, but then what happened was two things, both awful. One much more awful than the other. One was that Batman came out and flopped,
ooh,
and the people who were behind Superman said, "Oh, people don't want to see this kind of thing anymore," and they canceled the movie.
Oh God!
So the movie ended up not coming out. So then I had this song. I thought, oh, well, we could use this for something. This is a great song. I was trying to think of where to do it, and then Roger's brother shot him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and killed him.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
So I think I must have gotten it out at some point. I know you can find it online. I don't know if it ever actually came out commercially, but he did such a great version of it that I just and so unique. I mean, it's obviously – you know, you could tell it's from the R.E.M. song, but it doesn't sound anything
right.
Like R.E.M., obviously.
Right.
But it's, those are the kinds of things that I could do when I worked at the record company that made all of the miserable things that I had to do, like, worth it.
What kind of miserable things you had to do? You had the best job. I guess we only see the good parts.
It seems that way.
Right.
But when you have a job like that, the responsibilities for huge numbers of people are really immense, and they can really weigh on you. You know, somebody gets sick, or their spouse gets sick, or their child gets sick, whether it's someone who works there or a band member. And since there's so many people, there's always something going on like that.
Right.
Where I don't want to name names and some of this stuff, but I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
One of our artists
It was coming down to L.A. and had a sick child.
Mm-hmm.
And said he had to bring the child with him. And could I send the private jet to pick him up?
Ooh.
And you know, I worked at Warner Brothers. I never once initiated the use of a private jet. Because to me, it was like, it's very, very, very expensive to do, by the way.
Sure. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
No matter how close it is, it just costs a fortune. And, you know, that money could be used to promote a band. That money could be used for a band to go back in the studio and fix mistakes on their record. That money could be used for any number of things that was my job to do and that mm-hmm. I wanted to do and that were important to do. And, you know, sending it for me to use it, I never did it. I would get on a commercial plane. I flew well, but I would get on a commercial plane and never use it. All of my contemporaries did.
Huh.
So anyone who could use it would always use it. And I have to admit, sometimes if I knew somebody was going to New York on a private plane, I would jump on the plane with them.
Right, but you didn't get it.
It wasn't. Right. It was never a reprise expense.
Right.
So because no one, not only didn't I not ever use the private plane. Never. No one at Reprise ever used the private plane. It just was completely verboten. But anyway, it was very, very painful to tell this artist no.
Yeah.
And the artist and I had a very, very good relationship. And I don't want to say it ended the relationship, but it was never the same after that.
Wow.
And, you know, that's too bad.
Kind of
and it was a major, 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 major artist.
Mm.
And, you know, so that's kind of painful. It's not as painful as, for example, telling someone, look, we've given you three tries. You went to what is that called when you go to a place to get over drugs?
Rehab. You went to rehab, yeah. Right?
We've put you in rehab, the best rehabs
right.
available, three times, and you're still using drugs, still screwing up, because when it was a heavy duty guy
yeah.
that I'm talking about now, and you know no you that's over now, and there's no fourth chance. It's three strikes and you're out, and I have to let you go.
Wow.
And you know, I've been here longer than you have. Okay, well you have. I don't use. And I used to when I was a child, and now I'm not a child. I'm an adult, and you're acting like a child, and you are ruining people's lives with these drugs, because when you don't do your job, that means everything that everybody else has done to put this record out, whether the artist who made the record, who wrote the songs, the other people in the other departments, everyone is working together, and then you don't do your job because you're stoned,
right?
And then you ruin it for everybody. That's never happening again. Out.
Wow.
You know how hard that is to do, people?
I can imagine. I can imagine.
It's painful for like before, during, and after.
Wow.
I had a very, very guilty, you know, I came from a place where I started my own record company, and I was making $5,000 a year.
Wow.
Right, wow. $5,000 a year. And then suddenly I get this job, and I'm making a lot more than that.
And I
felt guilty about it. I actually was thinking, wow, all the people that could be fed with this money and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then at a certain point, I was thinking, like, this is the reason that people get these inordinately large salaries is because of the psychological pressure of what comes with the job. I feel funny, like, defending it now, because I'm sure people are thinking, oh, he's defending, you know, corporate executives and stuff like that. And in a way, I guess I am, although I'm not defending the idea of somebody making $20 million a year. I'll never defend that.
Right, that's ridiculous.
But you know, yes, people in top positions make a lot more money than other people. And you could say, well, you know, it's really hard to dig a ditch. Okay, I used to do that. I was a ditch digger. I, Howie Klein, dug ditches.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know when I took the job, by the way, but I, you know who I was working for, digging a ditch, and was knee-deep, although I had, like, big boots on, knee-deep in sewage, Timothy Leary.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know until years after that who he was. I just was digging a ditch, his big house in upstate New York.
That's why, you know, you do have all these stories, and I believe you've got a book in you, although there was a book written, I interviewed the author a couple of weeks ago, that talks about that record label you formed, 415 Records, in San Francisco. It was start of the, at the beginning of the punk era, and there's a book out about it called Disturbing the Peace, which is what, 415, I guess that's the police code. Anyway, you're doing a Blue America contest around that with the book being released. So since we're on the subject of music, why don't you talk about that and the candidates from Blue America who participated in this thing?
Yes. So I asked all the candidates if some of them are big music fans and others aren't. Uh-huh. So it was the ones who participated, generally speaking, are the ones who are big music fans.
Okay.
Like, just as an example, Tom Nelson, who's running for the Senate in Wisconsin, he wants to talk with me about music all the time. I mean, okay. He used to call me up. You know, he knew that I would get up at 4 in the morning. Uh-huh. So he would call me at like 5 in the morning because he wanted to talk to me about AC/DC. And in fact, one point I told him about this AC/DC show. When it was the first AC/DC tour of America. And they wound up playing, they were playing clubs, not even big clubs. Like they played the old Waldorf in San Francisco, which is, you know, a modest sized club. And I was telling him what happened there. It's a raunchy story, so I don't want to get into that. It doesn't matter anyway. But the thing is that he went and found a tape. He found a tape of that show that I went to from the late 70s of when I saw AC/DC. I mean, that's the kind of guy this is. He's like loves not just this band, but he loves music, loves talking about music of all varieties. Alan Grayson knows every single Joni Mitchell lyric.
Really?
And you may think I'm exaggerating.
No.
But no, he knows every single Joni Mitchell lyric. So anyway, I asked all of the candidates to name their favorite band at that moment. Obviously, people change. You know, change my favorite band from day to day.
Of course.
But and they all did. And then we're asking people to donate at least a dollar. I mean, to them. And if they donate to a candidate, two things happen. They get entered in basically a drawing where they can win an autographed copy of the book, and it comes with a companion CD of the bands that are on it. So a couple of people are going to win that. But the other thing, every time there's a donation, that counts as a vote for the candidate, and the candidate who gets the most votes, not necessarily the most money, but the most votes, wins $1,000. Check from Blue America
for their campaign. And you should know all of this. It goes through Act Blue, the Blue America PAC. You leading it. You vet the candidates. You only endorse the most progressive candidates who meet your criteria. But this is a fundraiser for them. So when you do this, and you can do it with a dollar to enter, and
or
vote
$100
or $100, right? Whatever you want to give, and then you're entered in this contest. You for years, Howie, you were giving away like gold records and platinum records. Did you run through all of those? Are those all gone?
No. There were more of those, okay. And signed guitars and original everything. Artwork. We give away that stuff too.
Yep.
But I thought this one would be kind of fun, bringing the artists into it. You know, two of the candidates picked Pink Floyd.
Uh-huh.
One guy picked New Order. Someone picked the Temptations, Carole King, Lady Gaga, you know, a whole range of artists, U2, Lauryn Hill, Imagine Dragons. Mm-hmm. One band that I had never even heard of but have now gotten to like is called The Postal Service, Kali Titano.
Okay. I don't know them.
I know I never pronounce her name wrong, but she's running in San Diego. She said the Postal Service. I didn't know them, and sure enough, they're a big and legitimate band. Somebody else picked Iron Maiden. someone else picked Janet Jackson. So Prince was another one.
Okay.
Lamar, Kendrick Lamar. A whole range of different artists that different people chose. And what I'm asking people to do is instead of giving money to the candidate based on their position on the Green New Deal or Medicare for All, since they all support the Green New Deal and they all support Medicare for All, support the candidate whose music you relate to the best.
There you go.
Give a buck to Steve Holden because you're a U2 fan.
Why not?
Give a buck to Alexandra Hunt because you're an Imagine Dragons fan.
Why not? So when does this contest end? You have through the weekend, I think?
Yeah, Monday at noon at any time, wherever you are, noon your time is the end. You can still keep giving.
Of course,
give as long as you want, but that's when we stop counting votes towards the contest. So right now, we've raised about $2,700 as
nice.
Right this minute.
Very cool. Oh, that's cool. And so you can get to that on the Blue America page. If you go to downwithtyranny.com, then you do /blue-america-pack, you'll get to the Blue America page. I'll put a link to that up on my site where I post today's show as well. You know, there's
right,
one.
Right, at the very end, it's like /415.
Oh, okay, /415. It'll make it easier for me to find. All right, so I will post that today as well. One other thing I wanted to put before we run out of time. We've just eaten up this whole segment. Couple of weeks ago, we talked about one of the Blue America endorsed candidates, a guy named Gary Chambers, who put out that ad that was so good. It was him smoking a spliff, right? He's got a new ad out. You have him featured in at Down with Tyranny in a post. The post called Congress did a little something useful yesterday. And you talked about, well, a few things. But you put this ad in. And once again, Gary Chambers, did he hire somebody great to do his videos and stuff? Or is he just that creative?
Yes, exactly. He did. He hired someone great to do his videos. It's so amazing that you brought this up just now, because about an hour and a half ago, I was on the phone with one of his consultants, and I said, you know, every Thursday I do a show, and we'd love to have Gary come on.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, oh, I'll make that happen.
Oh, cool. Well, let's play this new ad. It's a quick one, you know, but it's for those of you who are listening to an audio stream, I'll explain after the fact what happened. But here's that ad.
They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But here in Louisiana and all over the South, Jim Crow never really left, and the remnants of the Confederacy remain. In 1873, when a black man named P.B.S. Pinchback won a U.S. Senate race, he was never seated. They claimed election fraud. The attacks against black people, our right to vote, and participate in this democracy are methodical. Gerrymandered districts are a byproduct of the Confederacy. Our system isn't broken. It's designed to do exactly what it's doing, which is producing measurable inequity. 1 in 13 black Americans are deprived of the right to vote. 1 in 9 black Americans do not have health insurance. 1 in 3 black children live in poverty. It's time to burn what remains of the Confederacy down. I do believe the South will rise again, but this time it'll be on our terms.
Woo.
I'm Gary Chambers, and I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Whoa. And the thing about the ad is he burns the Confederate flag as he's saying those words. Ed is powerful. I got goosebumps again.
Yeah, he is amazing. What an incredible candidate he is. And, of course, Blue America has endorsed him. He's on our Senate page. And hopefully next week or the week after, we'll be able to have him come here on the show.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, I'd love to talk to him. That's just really good. And he's exciting. Now, so who is he running? What seat is he running for?
He's running for a Republican-held seat in Louisiana. I think it's John Kennedy's seat.
Oh, God. We got to get him out of there. I'm sorry. That guy, he's such a phony.
It's a very, very, very Republican district.
Yeah, I know.
But Gary has, I don't want to give anything away, but basically the team that did Bernie's field, which was is recognized inside of the politics industry as the best field campaign that's ever been run in the history of America.
Yeah.
That's doing Gary's Gary's field. So I mean it's a very, very Republican state, really, really heavily so, and I don't think the people who see the Confederate flag burning or get as excited as you do. Or if they do get excited, they get excited in a very different way than you just did. But we'll see. I mean, you know, Gary is an extremely compelling speaker. Obviously he's going to get himself an audience. I hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
But he's an amazing guy.
Very cool.
After he was finished with his own congressional campaign, a special election that he didn't win, he went on the road with Erica Smith, who is running in North Carolina. And did a tour where he and she talked about the important issues, just because he's a great guy and wanted to help out another progressive.
Wow. Well, see, those are the kind of people we need. I went off yesterday, Howie, and I think you agree with me on, you know, right now, the Democratic Party, I think, is at a crossroads, and we need to bring in some new blood. And more importantly, we've got some good young members, except the old guard won't let go of their power. And I say now is the time to send the octogenarians home. I'm not usually an ageist, but look at the House leadership. You got Pelosi, Clyburn, and Steny Hoyer, who are all in their 80s. Like, stop it. You know what? We've screwed up things for the next generation. How about giving them a chance to turn things around, because it's their lives that are going to be impacted going forward?
They imagine that they're all indispensable. Ugh. They literally think that. And deeper down, I know what they're feeling. Because anyone who grows old in a powerful position always feels that way. And it's important to have the self-consciousness to get over it, which is that if you leave that position, your whole life collapses and there's nothing left in your life. And that may be true for some of these people. But I know Pelosi has grandchildren.
I know.
Maybe she won't be the third most powerful person in America anymore, but she could put her life into her grandchildren, or whatever she wants to put her life into, write a book. I mean, you know, there is a life after what you've been doing. And you know, for most people, they don't see it. A lot of people leave that job, which they use for self-identity. So that becomes their identity. Their job becomes their identity. They lose the job and then they die.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that these people are all thinking about that. Those three people you named, I'm sure they all have that in mind.
And then when you go into the Senate's even older. And look, I guess Bernie would be caught up in this, although he is the antithesis of what I'm talking about, because Bernie, his mind is still sharp, and he is filled with ideas with the best of them. But you look around him, from Dianne Feinstein to Chuck Grassley. I mean, stop it already. Enough already. These people screwed things up to the point we're here, right? So don't you think it's time to let the next generation take over and try to save it for them and their kids?
Yes, of course, especially when you get someone like Feinstein, who's kind of lost her mind already.
Yes.
When you said that, you know, Bernie is the opposite of this and he's very, very sharp, that's true. And she's the opposite of
sharp.
I guess dull might be the answer, but it's not. It's much worse than dull.
Yeah.
She. I mean, I remember when Strom Thurmond finally left the Senate, no one would sit with him anymore because his diapers stunk.
Oh, God. See, I'm sorry. Maybe we do need term limits. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. And again, we would lose the Bernie Sanders of the world, but he's the oddity. He's the rare bird. The more common are these people who just think that this is their lifetime appointment and that their seat to hold until they die. And while we're talking about it, it's not just the Senate and the House, but the Supreme Court too.
Yeah, absolutely. The Supreme Court, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ugh. All right. Howie, we are over. Thank you, as always. I'll put those links on the page, and I will send you the air check of your guest DJ turn.
And what are you going to send it to me on?
What I'll probably do is I'll send you a Dropbox link, because it's too big of a file, so you can just download it or listen directly from there.
Can't wait.
All right. Howie, thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Howie Klein, everybody. Yes, and if you don't, you know, Howie was president of Reprise Records. Reprise Records, home to Frank Sinatra, Neil Young, Eric Clapton, Green Day. We can go on and on. Reprise is, you know, a division of Warner Brothers, and Howie was president, and he was when he came in and played disc jockey, and that's what all this is about. Anyway, so we'll talk to Howie again next week, and I will leave you with the news. Tomorrow, Robin Kincaid will be here. Now, you may know Robin as Robin. You may remember Robin Kincaid when she was Bob Kincaid. She does radio out of West Virginia. She's always lived in West Virginia. So we're going to talk about a number of things, from Joe Manchin, because why, to what Robin is doing as a good progressive living in West Virginia. And I'll give you a hint. She's running for office. So we got a lot to talk about tomorrow. And it's Friday, so yeah. All right, I'll leave you with the news, and I'll see you then. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The National Archives is asking the Department of Justice to investigate the former president's handling of White House records, seeking to review whether Trump violated the Presidential Records Act that requires that all records created by presidents be turned over to the National Archives at the end of their administration. Trump, however, routinely ripped up documents and brought around 15 boxes of records home to his Mar-a-Lago estate after his term ended. The New York Times is reporting that some of the boxes contained classified information. And Maggie Haberman, in her forthcoming book, reports that White House staff periodically discovered wads of printed paper clogging a toilet, which they believed Trump had flushed. The House Oversight Committee on Thursday opened a new investigation into potential violations of the Presidential Records Act by the former guy. Separately, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection issued a subpoena yesterday for Peter Navarro. That's Trump's one-time trade advisor who's consistently defended efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Moving on to COVID, a growing number of states, including New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Connecticut, and Oregon, have begun lifting mask mandates and other coronavirus restrictions. These changes come as infection numbers are falling, and polls are showing that Democrats and Republicans alike are suffering from what the New York Times is calling pandemic fatigue. So this has intensified pressure on the Biden administration to loosen its guidance on masks and other measures to fight the virus. And Dr. Fauci even said that the U.S. is exiting the, quote, full-blown pandemic phase. But Centers for Disease Control Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said it's still too soon to stop wearing masks in indoor public places. I'll keep wearing mine. The latest data shows COVID-19 hospitalizations in the U.S. have dropped 38% from just a few weeks ago. But the CDC is saying masking rules should stay for now due to limited hospital bed availability. So as things are starting to loosen up here, the Department of Homeland Security is warning that those trucker protests against coronavirus mandates that are crippling parts of Canada may be spreading to the U.S., with plans to block roads in major U.S. cities, including Los Angeles, where they could impact the Super Bowl. The so-called Freedom Convoy has been jamming the streets of Canada's capital city of Ottawa for nearly 2 weeks. But this week, truckers started obstructing border crossings, including one linking Windsor, Canada with Detroit. Now, that's a key supply route for the auto industry. It carries 25% of all trade between the U.S. and Canada. Ford and Toyota said they were pausing or reducing production at several Canadian factories. General Motors canceled a Wednesday shift at a Lansing, Michigan plant. By the way, just so you know, 80% of Canadians are fully vaccinated. These actions are from a small but very loud minority. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi on Wednesday shifted her public position on banning lawmakers and their spouses from owning and trading individual stocks, now saying that she would support a ban if members of her caucus wanted to do so. In December, Pelosi seemed to be vehemently against the idea of banning members of Congress from trading individual stocks. She said at the time, quote, "We're a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that." All righty then. Russia continues building up troops in Belarus, seemingly poised to invade Ukraine, while the White House has approved a plan for U.S. troops to help Americans evacuate Ukraine in the event of an invasion. Nearly 2,000 troops in the region are now setting up processing areas and temporary shelters inside Poland near the border with Ukraine, where Americans leaving could go for help while they're in transit. The U.S. State Department has repeatedly said it would be wise for Americans to leave Ukraine, issuing strict travel advisories for Americans not to travel there and to be aware that Russia is planning for significant military action. And today, Russia and Belarus began 10 days of joint military exercises. Stay tuned. Here at home, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has changed its mission statement, moving away from the agency's approach under the previous administration, who removed the phrase "nation of immigrants" from that statement 4 years ago. The agency's new mission statement says it, quote, upholds America's promise as a nation of welcome and possibility with fairness, integrity, and respect for all we serve. The Biden administration also moved to stop using the term illegal alien in public documents and speeches. Well, the family of comedian Bob Saget, who was found dead in his Orlando, Florida hotel room last month, released a statement saying authorities determined that Saget, quote, accidentally hit the back of his head on something, thought nothing of it, and went to sleep. The statement added that no drugs or alcohol were involved. The 65-year-old Bob Saget was on a comedy tour at the time of his death. And, well, let's end on an up note, shall we? Dolly Parton's theme park, Dollywood, has announced it will pay all tuition costs, fees, and books for employees who pursue higher education. This includes all part-time, full-time, and seasonal employees from the first day they're on the job. Along with this new tuition benefit, they receive access to the Dollywood Family Healthcare Center and are provided free meals for every working shift. And the park also pays a portion of childcare costs for employees who need childcare while they work. Dolly Parton, the more you know. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully supported by listeners, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.